The God whose endless mercy follows us, the God whose goodness will lead us home. This is the God whom we gather to worship. This is the God who promises never to leave us or forsake us, even and perhaps especially in hard times. It probably says something about our human nature that at the moment we find it easier to focus on what we can't do rather than what we can do. And certainly we are restricted in lots of different ways. There are places we would love to go. There are things we would love to do, but just not at present. And I suppose if we're honest, we're getting restless. And we just want to be out and doing things and being places again. But again, it is so important that we continue to isolate as much as possible. We continue to practice social distancing. We continue to be very careful in washing hands, all that stuff. And we do that for two reasons. The first one is this. The Bible says that the governing authorities have been established by God. And therefore, we are to submit to those authorities. So when our governing authorities rightly tell us to do these things, we should be doing them. But the second reason is this, out of love for our neighbor. If by sacrificing a little bit of our convenience, our comfort, we can protect the vulnerable around us, then out of love for our neighbors, we should do that. So we are separated, we are isolated. And it does mean that we feel restricted. And of course, just at the moment as we do this, as we gather here, many of us deeply miss being together on a Sunday morning. We miss gathering together, worshiping together, just being in the same place. And as many people comment to me, we miss the fellowship. There's just something special about being with other people, about spending time with them, about having a chat over a cup of coffee, about enjoying a wee bun or even a big bun together. We just enjoy being with others. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Now, we have usually restricted that just to pointing towards marriage. And yet Calvin, amongst others, reckoned that this had a much wider application than just marriage. We were not created to be alone. And that's why we struggle when we're isolated, because it reflects what we were created for, to be together. But fellowship is not simply being with people, good though that is, important though that is, right though that is. Fellowship is much more than that cup of tea. It is so much more than simply having a nice time. Men of a certain age will be familiar with the initials PSA. But apparently in some circles in Australia, PSA stands for something totally different. It stands for Pleasant Sunday Afternoon. And in the minds of many people, that's what fellowship is, a pleasant Sunday afternoon. Time spent with family, friends, a pleasant Sunday afternoon. When Dr. Luke describes the early church at the end of Acts chapter 2, the first thing he says about those people is that they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles. That's what we looked at last week. What is it to be devoted to God's word in these days? But the second descriptor that he uses about that early church is simply this: they are devoted to the fellowship. That early church, Luke says, were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, whatever else this may mean, it certainly does not mean that the early church was devoted to PSA, to pleasant Sunday afternoons. The biblical understanding of fellowship is not a warm, cozy feeling. The biblical understanding of fellowship is grounded on the basis of a relationship. For fellowship, true fellowship, is the relationship between people who have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what those first Christians were devoted to. They were devoted to their relationship together in Jesus Christ. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who was imprisoned and then executed by the Nazis for his opposition to Hitler. He spoke often about fellowship, about community. And one of the things he said was, we belong to one another only through and in Jesus. That's where our fellowship is. That's where our unity is. Pam read for us those lovely verses from Ephesians 4. Paul speaks of a unity in the body of Christ, a unity in the church, and that is where our fellowship is found. And so Ephesians 4 verse 3 simply says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What is that unity? What is that unity that we're called to keep and to hold and to maintain? Well, God produced this unity through the reconciling death of Jesus. That's where our unity is. That's where our fellowship is. That's the core of our being. This whole passage at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4 builds on the fact that God has brought Jew and Gentile into a new relationship with each other in the church. Jew and Gentile who just didn't mix. They avoided each other. They were suspicious of each other. They probably made jokes about each other. They didn't mix. And now God brings them together in this body of Christ in the church. He pulls them together. And as Paul writes in this passage, he shows how God has made provision for those in the church to live and to work in unity, to grow together into maturity. They had fellowship with each other because of what God had done for them in Jesus. It wasn't some wonderful social engineering project that pushed together Jew and Gentiles to get on better together. It wasn't some political decision that we need to improve relationships here. It was based on what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. Fellowship was the relationship between people who had a relationship with Jesus. And we need to understand that because fellowship isn't something that we create. It's not something that we make. Sometimes we give that impression when we talk about a time of fellowship, or maybe even look to a room or a space and call it a fellowship room or a fellowship lounge, as though it is the time or place to have fellowship. No, God in his grace has given us the gift of fellowship with each other as we find our unity in him. And so in verses 4-6 of this passage, we read, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There is this unity in God, this unity in our relationship in Jesus, and that's the basis of our fellowship together. As we read down through this passage, we see that Paul shows us this fellowship showing itself in different ways. One of the first things is that fellowship shows itself in growing Christian maturity. So verses 12 and 13 of this passage, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of Christ. Verse 15, so that we grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. It's about growing. It's about maturing. True fellowship should produce growth in Christian maturity, and no amount of pleasant Sunday afternoons will ever do that for us. Let's not make the mistake of confusing or mistaking superficial small talk for fellowship. Last autumn, a group of us from Ballywillan were privileged to travel to Eswatini. We traveled together and we endured all of the stresses that traveling can sometimes bring. We lived together. We worked together. We worshiped together. We shared together on a new and deeper level. We laughed together and we cried together. And for all of us, it was a time when we experienced growth in our Christian lives. In the fellowship of that team, we learned more about what God was doing in our lives, and we were able to encourage each other in that as we listened to each other, as we prayed with and for each other. It was a time of growth in our lives because of that fellowship together. We enjoyed some great times over a cuppa and over some food, and the food was good. But our fellowship together wasn't based on that. It was based on the relationship that we had with each other because we had a relationship with Jesus. We learned the truth of which the psalmist speaks, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. That team that went to Eswatini were a team of very different people. We always said, if you had to pick 11 people to go in a group, we probably wouldn't have picked that 11. We referred to ourselves as a motley crew. And we are, and we were. But a motley crew whose unity is in Jesus. In Jesus alone, we have joy in each other. In Jesus alone, we have fellowship with each other. We cannot be physically together, much as we would long to be. But we can still have fellowship with each other as we encourage each other to Christian maturity. It's been lovely to see that happening on our WhatsApp groups. It's been lovely to hear stories of people just growing day by day. As daily devotionals are shared, a favorite Bible verse, a favorite hymn, a verse from a psalm, whatever it may be, and explaining why it's so important for them. People have been open and honest with each other. People have prayed with and for each other, and perhaps more telling, people have asked others to pray for them. It's been lovely to see that growth together. So as we move into this new week, who will you encourage today? Who will you encourage this week to grow in their Christian faith, to grow in their relationship with Jesus? Who will you pray for? Who will you pray with? Because fellowship shows itself in growing Christian maturity. Fellowship also shows itself in service. In serving the Lord, serving the church, serving the world together. One of the purposes of fellowship in the early church was to prepare God's people for works of service. It wasn't just about having great experiences of fellowship and then leaving it at that and putting that to one side. These people were growing in Christian maturity so that they could better serve the Lord, his church, and the world around them. You cannot grow in Christ-likeness and not serve. This is the Jesus who came to serve. And if we are growing in Christ-likeness, if we are maturing in our faith, then we too will serve. In Ballywillen, we are blessed with an army of folks who have found ways, multitude of ways to serve. But again, in these difficult and different days, many of those areas of service are just not open to us. And that's frustrating. But people are finding new ways to serve. There's still the Oasis food trolley. And the last time we had the trolley a couple of weeks ago, the trolley wasn't big enough. It just flowed over. It's incredible. There are teams of people around the countryside now making and delivering soup to folks who are on their own, folks who are shielding and vulnerable. And it is so appreciated. Every week there are DVDs of these services copied and then delivered to people who don't have access to the internet so that they can join with us in worship. We have teams of people who regularly lift the phone to those who are lonely, those who are isolated, and it just means so much. Just that phone call. There are little acts of kindness going on that no one else really knows about. There are lots and lots of ways to serve. I've noticed even that we just now have time to speak to neighbours that maybe we just never spoke to before. We nodded, we waved at them, we said hello, good morning, but maybe we've had a chance to speak to them now. There are lots of ways to serve. I think one of the big pluses of this time must be the generosity and the kindness and the hospitality which people are showing. Lots of different ways. I've already told you about the generous response to the Eswatini appeal. We got a message about it, and from another congregation that are also trying to help them. And at the end of it, there was a lovely spelling mistake because it talked about you can make a prayment. And I looked at it and thought it's a spelling mistake. And then I thought, no, it's not so good. It's not just a matter of making a donation, but it's prayerfully making that donation, making that prayment. That prayment may be giving money. That prayment may be using some of your time to serve others around you. That prayment may be just using the gifts that God has given you in new and different ways to help other people through these hard times. There are so many ways that you and I can serve. Let's find those ways. So this week, let our fellowship show itself in service of the Lord, of his church, and of the world around us. Fellowship will also show itself in increasing love and care for one another. And so again, verse 2 of this passage simply says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Jews and Gentiles in the New Testament times, as I've said, would have had nothing to do with each other, yet here they were part of one body, part of the church. If you go back a chapter in Ephesians, Paul says, through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. This oneness. Where's their unity? Where's their basis for their fellowship? The relationship which they have in Jesus Christ. The world looked on as Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, rich and poor, came together in that early church, grew in Christlikeness, were united in service. And the conclusion of the watching world was, see how these Christians love one another. The relationship just doesn't seem to make sense. These are people who normally wouldn't mix, normally wouldn't be seen together. Normally would talk about them and over there. But now here they are together in the body of Christ, united in fellowship. See how these Christians love one another. Maturity, unity are impossible without love. Bearing with one another in love, speaking the truth in love. But it's not always easy. There's a lovely little verse that says, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. And we know that to be true. And yet it's learning to love as Jesus loves. Some years ago, one of our moderators for his year of office had the lovely phrase, we have been redeemed by grace to relate with grace. The grace that God has shown us in Jesus Christ, we need to show to each other, redeemed by grace, to relate with grace. And when we love like that, then the watching world will again conclude, see how these Christians love one another. Many in Ballywillan have experienced that love of another kind, that love which makes the world stop and stare. And it's lovely to see it happening more and more. Fellowship shows itself in increasing love and care for one another. What can you do this week to express that love and care for your brothers and sisters in Christ within Ballywillan, within the community, wherever we are, and in the wider world? We can't be together at the moment. But let's keep praying for that day when we can be. But there's so much that we can do. We can encourage each other to maturity, to Christ-likeness. We can serve where God has placed us. We can love each other as Jesus loves us. And social distancing doesn't stop any of those things. When we live out these things, then in spite of that social distancing, in spite of us feeling isolated, we will truly enjoy fellowship. So this week, as we enjoy fellowship, let's encourage each other to maturity. Let's find new, creative, imaginative ways to serve and to love. But let's remember where it starts. In a moment, we're going to sing together a beautiful song that takes us back to where our fellowship starts, the cross of Jesus. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I find a place to stand and wonder at such mercy that calls me as I am. And then the second verse has this lovely refrain. Beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. There's my unity, my fellowship. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone.